Hello, this is Dr. Sam Goldhaber for the Clot Blog at theheart.org at Medscape, speaking to you from the European Society of Cardiology Symposium in London. And today we're going to speak about reversal of NOACs, and I am pleased to have as our guest Dr. Charlie Pollack. Welcome, Charlie. Dr. Pollack is professor of emergency medicine and is a provost at Thomas Jefferson in Philadelphia. Charlie, you had very recently a key publication in the New England Journal of Medicine about the reversal of dabigatran. Why don't you speak to us about antidotes for the NOACs, and you could start with reversing dabigatran, and then speak about our antidote possibilities for reversal of the anti-10A agents.
So, Sam, REVERSE-AD is an ongoing phase 3 study of adariciximab, which is a Fab fragment directed specifically at dabigatran. And we're studying it in two types of patients that are pertinent to clinical practice: those who are taking dabigatran and present with serious, uncontrolled, or life-threatening bleeding, and those taking dabigatran who present with an urgent or emergent need for surgery that really can't be postponed, and yet there's a need for hemostasis. So this is an open-label study. Adariciximab in preclinical and human volunteer studies and animal studies looked great. It binds dabigatran with about 350 times the avidity with which dabigatran binds to thrombin. And again, in volunteer patients, volunteer subjects, it worked great. We're hopeful that it does the same thing in bleeding patients and those who need these emergency procedures. So the study aims to enroll about 300 patients. The interim analysis that we presented at ISTH, and as you mentioned, was published in New England Journal, focused on the first 90 of those patients. Among those 90, 51 were the bleeding patients, and 39 were the pre-procedural patients. And what we found was, when looking at the anticoagulation effect of dabigatran as measured by dilute thrombin time or eccrine clotting time, neither of which are readily available but have been shown in the laboratory to reflect very well dabigatran levels and dabigatran intensity, what we found was that adariciximab in a fixed 5-gram dose given to these patients quickly, completely, durably, and safely reversed the anticoagulant effects of dabigatran.
Now, you give it as an IV push, and you gave, I thought, two doses in the New England Journal paper?
It's one dose of 5 grams given in two and a half gram aliquots.
I see.
And we actually drew clotting studies in between the two aliquots.
How much time do you allow between the two aliquots?
By protocol, they have to be given within 15 minutes of each other. And in practice, what we've asked people to do is just to draw the blood in between, and they can give the two as quickly as they can. And that's typically what sites are doing. It can be given by rapid infusion, or it can actually be given IV push, which, given that these are very ill patients, that typically is what happens.
Now, what about the reversing the anti-10A NOACs?
So there's a parallel program studying a drug called Indexinet Alpha, which works in a different way from adariciximab. First of all, it's effective against 10As. Adariciximab has no activity against 10As. It's very specific for dabigatran. And Dexinet Alpha has no activity against dabigatran. It's very specific for the 10As. So apixaban, rivaroxaban, edoxaban, and potentially the injectable 10As like enoxaparin and fondaparinux. This works not as an antibody, but basically as a faux factor 10A, an inactive factor 10A that binds the 10A inhibitors, pulls them off of active 10A so that 10A can once again actively function in the coagulation system. So the drug is being studied in a suite of phase 3 studies looking at different 10A substrates and looking at different dosing regimens as well, with some just being infusion only, others being bolus only, others being bolus plus infusion. That development program is not quite as far along as the adariciximab program, and so we're still waiting for results on that.
Now, very interested to hear about reversing fondaparinux, because as far as I knew, we have no antidote for fondaparinux. It's particularly important because fondaparinux has a very long half-life.
Right.
Tell us more about how this agent might reverse fondaparinux.
Well, it's still under investigation, but because fondaparinux, like enoxaparin, has indirect anti-10A activity, it's hoped that by occupying the drug with this inactive but very attractive 10A substitute, that might actually pull fondaparinux out of circulation as well.
Can we think of it as a decoy drug?
Exactly.
But it's inert.
It is. It doesn't seem to have any procoagulant or anticoagulant activity. But again, the doses and the regimens in which this will be given are still under investigation, so it's a little early to say.
Well, we've survived for 10 or 15 years without a reversal agent for fondaparinux, and we hardly ever give reversal agents for low molecular weight heparin. Do you think once these drugs go through the clinical trials and presumably get approved that they'll pretty much sit on the shelf for reassurance purposes, or do you envision that these are drugs that at least in emergency medicine, that most emergency medicine physicians and perhaps ICU doctors and coronary care unit doctors are going to become familiar with and use with realistic frequency?
I don't think we're going to need them often, Sam. The fact is that the NOACs as a class are safer than warfarin. We certainly see fewer intracranial hemorrhages, which is one of the most feared complications of warfarin therapy. But there are situations in which we would like to be able to supplement the sort of general supportive measures we do now for NOAC-related bleeding with a specific reversal agent. The things that come to mind as an emergency physician right away are intracranial bleeds, multiple system trauma with hemorrhagic shock, exsanguinating GI hemorrhage. These are things where we really would like to have a specific reversal agent, but these aren't things we see on a regular basis. So I think they will supplement our clinical armamentarium. They'll probably make us our psychological armamentarium about using NOACs that much more secure. And I think that we'll use them enough to justify their existence, but they certainly won't be everyday drugs.
Now, as cardiologists, we're always worrying about rebound thrombosis. Is that a real fear we should have with these new agents?
Well, these patients who are taking NOACs presumably are on them for the right reason. They have some thrombotic proclivity, or else they wouldn't be taking a NOAC. What we saw in reverse AD was an absence of any thrombotic complications after dosing of adariciximab, with the exception of one case early and two other cases later on, days to weeks later. But in all three of those cases, any thrombotic therapy had not been reinitiated. So these patients were back at their native state. There's no indication that adariciximab, at least, has any procoagulant effect. I know that's being studied for andexanet alpha in the Anexa suite of studies as well.
Great. And what should our viewers be looking for over the next year or so in terms of future development?
Well, we're going to finish the reverse AD study. The regulatory packet for adariciximab is well under review on both sides of the Atlantic for adariciximab. Of course, we don't know when it'll be approved or if it'll be approved. We're optimistic and hopeful. The andexanet program, again, a little bit further behind, but I think the company's public position is they expect approval in 2016. So I think over the next 15 months or so, we may likely have at least two specific reversal agents for NOACs, which again, I think will contribute to a greater sense of security by prescribing physicians, the primary prescribing physicians, many of whom are cardiologists, of these agents who might have held back a little bit because of the absence of a specific agent.
Well, it certainly will increase our armamentarium, our toolkit, and that's always a good thing.
It is. It is.
Charlie, thank you so much. This is Dr. Sam Goldhaber signing off for the Clot Blog.